That singing sounded very good today. I just want to keep on singing. And that was very encouraging and uplifting. Today we're going to continue our series in the book of Galatians. We'll be wrapping up Galatians chapter 2. And as we have looked at the last few lessons, Paul is in the midst of an explanation of the gospel of Christ. He has explained that there are false brethren who are calling for the Gentile Christians to become circumcised and keep the law of Moses in order to be saved, to belong to the body of Christ. Paul also has indicated that this is not the case. This is not what should be taught. It's in violation of the gospel. And Paul said he has been consistent in what he has taught along with the other apostles Peter, John, and James, and he did indicate in our last lesson that at one point Peter was found not walking in line with the gospel, and we talked about that last week. Sometimes the things that we know better to do we can get caught up in doing the wrong thing, and which Peter did, and Peter was confronted by Paul about not walking in line with the gospel. And he acted hypocritically along with many other Christians who followed after Peter, including Barnabas. And so this resulted in a public confrontation with Paul and Peter. And so this brings Paul to the heart of the message of the gospel that he wants to teach to the Galatian brethren, which is found right here at the end of chapter 2. And the same theme continues throughout chapter 3, which we'll get to in the next lesson, Lord willing. So here in chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, it says, "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified." And so as you read verse 15 here, this statement, "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners," Paul certainly is talking about himself there, because he was born a Jew and the son of a Pharisee. And so this statement that we are Jews and not Gentile sinners, to somebody that is a Gentile, that might sound a little jarring to them, or maybe even condescending. But that's not really what we need to understand what Paul means by this. And Paul is certainly pointing out to no one's surprise that there is a distinction between Jew and Gentile. And they understand that. And that's part of the problem here, is that people are still putting a distinction between Jew and Gentile in the body of Christ when there really shouldn't be any more. But the picture here is that this distinction exists because the Jews historically had been a privileged people, and the blessings of belonging to the nation of Israel, in contrast to the sinful Gentiles who were separated at one point from the promises and privileges found in that covenant relationship that Israel enjoyed. There's a distinction there. And so Paul declares here that even we Jews recognize that even possessing all of the great privileges that we have had in our relationship with God, what does that do for us now? So that is his point, that even though we had these great privileges of being with Israel, they are inadequate for achieving a state of righteousness before God. And so this is all culminating from what he has been talking about in the previous verses, where there are those that are Judaizing teachers wanting to hold to the old law. He's making the point here that these things that you considered privileges really didn't help you and are not helpful to you now, because you are not putting your hope in the acts of the old law. So Paul is declaring this very message that was proclaimed in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, when, as we've referenced this many times in this series, the Jerusalem Council, where the idea was that they needed to decide what to do about the old law, and specifically whether or not Gentiles needed to be talked into being circumcised to keep the old law. And the conclusion of that here in verse 10 says, "Now therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear?" And so that's pretty clear here that this is not something that they are to do. They are not to continue putting this yoke upon the Gentiles. And the apostles in Acts chapter 15 said, "Don't put this on the Gentiles because we couldn't bear it either." And this is the same point that Paul is making here in Galatians chapter 2. That you had these privileges, yet those privileges did not get you to be part of the body of Christ. They were inadequate to get you there. And so don't keep trying to use that to make you adequate, because it won't. And he goes on here and gives us more of a definition of this. And I think it's really easy here, as we go through this methodically through the book of Galatians, to see what it is that Paul is referencing when he is talking about works of the law. And because there's a lot of confusion in the world today, in the religious world, about what the works of the law are, and people just use this term works generically to mean that you don't need to do any kind of works at all. And Paul is specifically talking about a specific kind of work. He's talking about the works of the old law, which are to be put away. Verses 15 and 16 again. "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus." He's making a contrast between the works of the old law, and specifically the one work that's giving everybody problems here is circumcision. But we'll see in other places that there's other works of the law that give people problems too. Keeping the feast days, whether or not you could eat unclean animals, what kind of food that you could eat. There are other issues as well. But he says, "We know that a person is not justified by works of the law," or the old law, "but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, but because by works of the law, no one will be justified." And so the letter to the Galatians has been about those people who are troublers, who are saying that the Gentiles must observe the law of Moses and be circumcised to be saved. And the keeping of these ordinances in particular, all the things that identified Israel as being distinguished from the rest of the world, and that was real important to a lot of the former Jews, and especially to these that wanted to keep making others keep these laws. These are our distinction. This is what makes us different than the rest of the world. Eating only clean foods, keeping the certain days. And so this is what Paul is saying when he is talking about works of the law, and you are not justified by works of the law. Those things are not to be kept anymore. So the point is that if chosen Israel cannot be justified by works of the law, then why are you compelling the Gentiles to do it? Why is it that if this is not saving you, then why are you wanting to put it on somebody else? Why are you wanting to put this yoke upon the Gentiles, as was mentioned in Acts chapter 15? It's a burden, it's a yoke, it's something that is not necessary. So don't do that. Why would the works of the law of Moses be applied to the Gentiles when the Jews cannot be saved by this system? So Paul makes this important declaration when he says, "We know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus." He's really declaring that, and hopefully everybody that's reading that agrees with that statement. But it seems that there's a lot of people that are not living according to that statement. So we know we're not justified by this, so why do we keep doing it? Why do we keep imploring others to do it? And one of the purposes of the old law of Moses was to show that no person could find justification through those activities. No one could be a perfect law keeper, and they need to rely on God to forgive their sins and have them in a relationship with God, because we are not capable of overcoming our own sinfulness without the blood of Christ. We can't by our own actions make ourselves right before God or declare ourselves guilty or not guilty. And so performing circumcision, eating only clean foods, keeping feast days, Paul is saying those things do not make you right before God. Paul made this very same point to the Romans in Romans chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. I don't think I have it up on the screen, but Romans chapter 3, verses 19 and 20 says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." And so, the same thing here is being told to the Roman brethren that Paul is telling the churches in Galatia. By works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. So, Paul says that the Jewish Christians, and him, including himself in that, believed in Christ so that they can be justified by faith. They did not believe in Christ so that they could keep the old law. They were not justified in Christ so they keep on doing the things that they were doing before. And he's going to go into more detail in the next chapter on this. But the point is that the covenant of Christ can't be turned into to the same system that they were under before. The justification by works. Paul says you're not under that anymore. Right standing before God is found where? Well, it's found in Christ Jesus. And the Gentiles are in no different of a position than the Jews in needing that justification by faith. And so Paul's making the point here to those that want to make a distinction that there's no distinction, that you're both in the same boat. You all need to be justified by Christ. You're not justified by the old law. And as we move ahead here, verse 17 through 19 says, "But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not, for if I rebuild what I tore down, I've proved myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law that I might live to God." And maybe we need a little explanation here about what Paul is saying in regard to Christ. He's pressing this point further. And so to understand, certainly we need to keep the context in mind here, that Peter, some of the other Jewish Christians, they separated themselves from eating with the Gentile Christian because of the influence of these people that were troubling, specifically ones that it says came from Jerusalem. And so verse 17 goes on here to address, you know, if this is true, if it's true that you need to keep the old law, then think about the implication of that. So the implications here of teaching this system, he asks a question. If we, as sinners, as we endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too are found to be sinners. Is Christ then a servant of sin? What is he saying here? Well, keeping the old law and doing those things under the old law, if eating with Gentile Christians and their unclean foods makes us sinners, then what does that say about Christ? Paul knows what Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verse 18. Jesus said, "Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart but his stomach and is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean." And so he is saying that if Gentiles with their unclean foods make us sinners, then Christ is also a servant of sin. So if you're going to put all this on everybody, then think about the implications that you are making. Also remember what Jesus said through a vision to Peter in Acts chapter 10, when the sheet was let down from heaven and there was all manners of unclean beasts on the sheet, and Peter was told, arise, kill and eat. And Peter took what happened to him as an indication that the Gentiles were to be accepted into the kingdom. And so if a Jewish Christian becomes sinners because of fellowshipping with a Gentile Christian, then Paul is saying that Christ is guilty too. Now this should be a pretty strong point for those that are listening that is not acceptable. You know, that as an implication of this doctrine, that Christ is not guilty of that. So rebuilding the law of Moses, he is saying, rebuilding of the law of Moses, verse 18, if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. What was torn down? Well, the law of Moses was torn down. And you're not in the job of rebuilding what was put away. And so Paul keeps making this point over and over to these brethren that they do not need to give in for a moment, as he said he did not in trying to go back to the old law. Verse 19 says, for through the law I died to the law that I might live to God. The law makes one dead, but it's Christ who makes us alive. Paul tells the Romans in Romans chapter 7 that when we die to Christ, we die to the law. And these concepts will be talked about further in Galatians chapter 3 and Galatians chapter 4. One of the more familiar passages here in Galatians chapter 2 starts in verse 20, where Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved him and gave himself, or who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. So here is another summary of the gospel message that Paul has been very boldly proclaiming, that justification by faith means that I have died. I've died to myself. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And that should be obvious to us, that we no longer live by our own desires. We no longer are in control of our life, or shouldn't be, that Christ is. And the reason for this is because in the former life we are enslaved to sin. We are condemned under the law. And all those who lived under the old law and still are trying to do that, they are condemned under it. Why? Because they can't keep it. They can't keep it perfectly. They can't justify themselves. Our actions are sinful and condemning. And Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's not about me anymore. It's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And it's a beautiful picture there, that Christ has made me alive when I was dead. And it's by faith that I live in Him. So what do you want to be identified with, is the question he's asking. Do you want to be identified with the old law that you couldn't keep, that you were dead in? Or do you want to be crucified with Christ? It should be a very obvious answer to that question as to what you would want. Well, no, I want to stay dead. I want to continue to live under the old law. And this faith that we live in is certainly an identifying mark that shows that we belong to Jesus. Faith means that we know that Christ is alive, and that Christ is alive in us. And we put to death our old ways. We put to death our old desires and our old life. And we belong to God. And so, you know, Abraham was one who lived a faithful life, and he followed the promises of God that were made to him. It was faith that showed that he belonged to God. And the same thing with us. We have to have the same faith that Paul describes here. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved Him and gave Himself for me. And Peter and the others on the day of Pentecost preached the same message about who Jesus Christ was. That the one that they killed, that they put to death on the cross, was the one that they needed to have faith in. He died for them, and that they need to be buried in baptism and arise to walk a new life. Faith drives us to do something. And Rex talked about that in our class this morning, talking about those that had faith in Jesus Christ. The faith that they had in Christ to heal or to do something for them, it would drive them to take action. And that's something that is missing a lot of times today when people declare faith. They think it's something mental. And it is something mental. But it doesn't stop there. And so sometimes people will pervert the message that Paul has here in Galatians, and they throw out any kind of works, because Paul is making this big point about we're not saved by works, we're saved by faith. But think about the context of what it is that Paul is addressing here. Paul is addressing the works of the old law that Judaizing teachers have come in and they have perverted the law of Christ by convincing people to keep the old law. And Paul is saying, you're not keeping the old law anymore. Those are the works that are being thrown away that you are no longer bound to. If you're still bound to the old law, then what Christ did is of no effect. And so don't confuse the message here that Paul said, well, oh, no works. You know, there, faith, it's all faith, it's all mental, and there's no works involved. That is not Paul's message here. Paul's message is very specific, that you Jews that are trying to compel Gentiles to be Jews, that's not the right message. And stop it. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. You can tell that Paul lives that. We just got through a study in the book of Acts that really is a study of the life of Paul when you look at the last part of the book of Acts. And you can see the very evidence of Paul working out his faith. His faith was a faith that worked every day of his life as he proclaimed the gospel message. Faith can be seen in us and as being alive in us because we are putting to death the old ways. And so what we see is what we see here is very important. When you see infants that are baptized, you know, what kind of faith do they have? They don't. They're not old enough to have that. Faith in Christ means that you are doing something. You are giving your life to Him. You are crucifying yourself. And so when you think about what Paul is expressing here and what faith means, you can certainly see that it takes someone that understands what Christ has done. True faith is going to generate some things. It generates guilt. It generates repentance. It generates confession and baptism and all the other things that Jesus has called us to do, because He is alive and He is in us. Just as Paul said, Christ is in him. It caused Paul to act in a different way than he had acted in the past. And so these verses are very powerful and also very personal. You know, personal for for Paul to say, Jesus loved me and gave himself for me, so I'm dead to myself, and I live by faith in Jesus. Therefore, verse 21 says, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. He goes back to what point he is making here, is that returning to the law of Moses and any of its work is a rejection of the grace of God. Why did Christ die? So you can go back to the old system. If I can find justification through the works of the law, through the feast days, through the not eating of certain foods, of circumcision, or by any other action, then that didn't change anything. Why did Christ die? The point of the cross is that you're not doing that anymore. You're receiving justification by faith. And it's an act of faith. So this justification by faith should be changing things for those that are listening to this. I would imagine that many of the Gentile brethren and the Galatian brethren, it put their minds at ease to hear this message. Some of them may have been very confused about the things that they had heard. This doesn't sound right. There are those that are teaching things that are not consistent with what the apostles teach. And Paul has cleared that up for them. That you can be declared righteous. You can stand justified in the sight of God. But don't think that justification is tied to what others are trying to get you to do through obedience to the old law. That is not the way you will stand justified. Put your hope in Christ. Live for Christ. Die to self. Live for Him with a life that's changed, and trust in the promises of God. Verse 21, I do not nullify the grace of God. So Paul has made a very, very strong argument about what it is that he is trying to get across to these churches in Galatia. And I know for us that understand this concept, it may read to us like, you know, Paul, you said that back in the beginning. You said that back at the beginning of the book, but you keep restating this. I think the reason for that is it was a big problem. It was a big problem, and Paul needed to say it in every which way that he could to make sure that everybody got the message. And you see that, you know, continuing throughout the New Testament, where this problem continues. So it was important, and that's why it was repeated, and we need to understand it as well. And we can be thankful that we don't live under that old system anymore, that Christ did come and die for us so that we can have remission of our sins. We need to have appreciation for that great sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Hope these things will be useful to you in your understanding of the Scriptures, and that we can learn from these things, and that we too can live a life that is dedicated to Christ Jesus. That it's not us living anymore, but it's Christ living in us. If we can help you in any way to do that, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Calleth thee now to come into the fold of safety, where there is rest and room.
Come in the strength
of manhood, come in the horn of youth. Enter the fold of safety, enter the way of truth. Lovingly, tenderly calling is he, wanderer, wanderer, come unto me. Patiently waiting there, standing I see. Jesus the Shepherd divine, Jesus the loving Shepherd, gave His dear life for thee. Tenderly now he's calling, Wanderer, come to me. Haste, for without is danger, come Christ the Shepherd blessed. Enter the fold of safety, enter the place of rest. Lovingly, tenderly calling is he, Wanderer, wanderer, come unto me. Patiently waiting, there standing I see Jesus, my Shepherd divine. Lingering is but folly, wolves are abroad today,
seeking the
sheep who straying, seeking the lambs to slay. Jesus, the loving Shepherd, calleth thee now to come. Enter the fold of safety, where there is rest and room. Lovingly, tenderly calling is he, Wanderer, wanderer, come unto me. Patiently waiting, there standing I see Jesus, my Shepherd divine.
Our Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. And do not lead us in temptation, but deliver from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Mike for you. Okay.
Appreciate it. Hey there. How are you today? Did you have a good visit?
So, how are you doing, sir?